You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, breaking news as it happens, of course, what it means, and why it matters.
Kevin McCullough, and here we go.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Obliterating confusion.
Amplifying truth.
And pursuing clarity.
Kevin McCullough, now.
Getting some real clarity on whether or not your children should be masked, checking in on health and wellness, talking about lawlessness in this day and age in which we live, and starting out with some keen analysis from Carrie Severino on those Supreme Court cases as the Supreme Court closed out its season today. Stay with us.
Bench thinking.
Kevin McCullough.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog
has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
He is playing a role.
As well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
Chief Justice specifically speaks to the fact that the president is not above the law. And that was something that was proclaimed,
you know, for someone
in the decision.
For someone who sounded like she was taking a victory lap, that didn't sound very convincing by Nancy Pelosi today. The Supreme Court, in kind of a mixed bag, is what the media is going to tell you. It's a mixed bag for the president. Got struck down in one, got affirmed in another. Friends, don't believe the media. Don't believe the media. These cases today were wins for the president. Maybe not as thorough wins as he would like, but certainly nothing that impacts him in a significant way other than he continues to fight for the rights of the executive branch and for himself as an individual. Welcome into a very busy Thursday. We've got a ton of stuff to get to. The NYPD is going through massive problems. We're going to speak with Ed Mullins about this in one portion of the shows today. And we've also got a look at what's going on by way of your health and wellness, as we do every Thursday, but we're also going to zero in on some of the violence issues as well. We've got a lot to get to, but I first want to get to Carrie Severino, who I believe the last time she was with me, she was actually in my studio. But Carrie, I haven't even seen the inside of my own studio for 17 weeks, so it's a joy to have you back regardless. She's president of the Judicial Crisis Network, and my favorite part of her bio, former clerk to Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. Carrie, good to have you back. Thanks for being here.
It's great to be here.
So I was talking with Hugh Hewitt, former Justice Department member of the Reagan administration this morning, and he said, Kev, the shorthand of these cases are this: absolute win in the case against Congress for them trying to get the president's tax records. And in the first case, not a big deal. He just lives to fight another day. And at the end of the day, these records aren't going to be made public at all, even if they go to a grand jury before the election happens. What's your take from the view of what the Supreme Court handed down today?
Yeah, you know, I think that's just about right in both cases. And they both were, despite the fact that one gets described as a win, the other gets described as a loss, they were actually pretty similar. In neither case, they say no president ever has to turn over these kind of records. No, zero justices of the Supreme Court say that. But none of them also say automatically you do have to. They both, in both cases, both this congressional subpoena, and then also in the Manhattan District Attorney trying to get it through the grand jury, they both say there are a lot of defenses the president can make, and basically they're going to throw it back and say, now you can kind of make those defenses. So in the one, in the congressional subpoena, it kind of the default is the president doesn't disclose things, and they've given Congress a chance to try to explain why they should, but it sounds like and it's going to be really hard to do so. And in the New York case, they really do say there's a lot of support. There might be other arguments the court didn't lay out, but it already gave a pretty clear guidelines for here's what you're going to argue at the federal courts, Mr. President, to explain why you shouldn't be distracted by these kind of subpoenas that appear to be harassment during your time in office.
Carrie, let me ask you this, because I think it's a fair question. We've had very few presidents that have come to the presidency as poor people, but we've certainly had very few that have come to the presidency as wealthy as Mr. Trump was when he took office. Now, his personal wealth has gone down. I think it's something like $8 billion since he's been in office, which is just an astounding sacrifice to make for one's country. But Do you see what District Attorney Vance is doing in the New York case as just pure cannon fodder, trying to take him down? And if so, did the court say in any way that that this was an appropriate attack to go after a president? In other words, did they in any way pat Vance on the back and say, this is what you should be doing?
No, they didn't go there. And in fact, they outlined, as I said, they said you can't use the court as a method of harassing a president. You can't use it as a fishing expedition. You can't use your district attorney to try to implicate presidential policies, to try to impede the president's agenda. And I think all of those, there's a lot of really strong arguments.
Yeah.
That's exactly what the Manhattan district attorney is trying to do. So, in fact, I think they signaled that, you know, the court below needs to look at that. And they said, you absolutely have the right to take this to federal court. They basically said, you have to do this a different way. You don't get to say, I never have to answer these subpoenas, but you do have a defense in federal court. And I think that's one that the president ought to be able to make easily on the facts in this case, where it just seems pretty clear. This is a harassment type of litigation. This is not really something that, you know, they were pursuing in good faith, separate from the fact that he's the president and they're opposed to him.
Yeah. And it's, these have been overwhelming case decisions, this court session. We've seen more 7-2s than I think we've seen in a long time. But we did see a difference in two similar cases in this court session, and I would like your thoughts on this. Ralph Reed mentioned it earlier today on Twitter. The Hobby Lobby case and the Little Sisters of the Poor case actually addressed very similar things. One was a commercial operation, one was nonprofit. But the decisions were 5-4 in the Hobby Lobby case and 7-2 in the Little Sisters case. And today, Joe Biden's out running around saying, well, if I'm elected, we're going to revisit that Hobby Lobby issue and we're going to get a different determination on that. Talk to me about what the distinctions were, and do you think Hobby Lobby would have been a 7-2 case if the Trump court had been the one hearing it?
Well, certainly that's a decent argument you could make. I mean, Gorsuch replaced, who is very strong on religious freedom, replaced Scalia, who is also, although not even as consistently strong in religious freedom. But this court is really at a high watermark in the religious freedom area. And that was because, you know, this Little Sisters case wasn't the only big case decided this week. There were three major cases.
Right.
And a couple of them were these 7-2 cases. This court has been very strong on this issue. But I do think Biden is correct. His agenda, and the agenda, really the question is his agenda. It's the agenda of the people who are telling him what to do in his basement. Those people really want to attack this. They view religious freedom as an impeding their policy goals. And so I think you'd see a lot of people who want to see judges who are going to take a hatchet to the First Amendment and really minimize that. So I would take him at his word when he says we're going to try to get judges who will undo that. I think every reason to believe that is top on their agenda to cut down religious freedom.
Talk to me for a second about the Little Sisters case, because I'm thinking that if you cannot force Catholics to provide contraception to employees or to their organizations, that it should be very similar to not being able to, for instance, force Muslims to serve ham in their delis or to force Christians to perform gay marriage. Why isn't there an argument in the Little Sisters case that could eventually lead to not necessarily the overturning of Obergefell, but in at least impacting people's conscience freedoms as it relates to that issue?
Well, remember when the court considered Masterpiece Cake Shop, which was that very question,
right,
talking about whether you can force someone to bake a cake celebrating a marriage that they think violates their religious beliefs, the court did side in favor of religious freedom. And they, in fact, pointed out how biased and anti-religious bigots were on the Colorado Civil Rights Commission that was making.
But the funeral home case went a different direction. And I'm curious as
right
to what the inconsistency there was.
Well, the funeral home case was not argued. This was the transgender case that
Correct.
Came down a few weeks ago. That was not argued based on religious freedom. And actually, I think they may go back and then argue it on those bases. What they said is, look, we don't even have to go there because there's not even a right in the first place under this federal law to be protected on the basis of transgender status in the first place, because the law didn't say that. Turns out, you know, six justices found a way to read it into the law. So now I think you could see them going back and saying, okay, now the court seems to think this is somehow protected by federal law, we at least do have a religious freedom countervailing right to say in this case this is a religious thing. So
right.
I think you are going to see a lot of further litigation, not just in that case, but unfortunately in a lot of other similar cases.
One thing has not changed, Carrie Severino, since this Supreme Court season went into session. That is just how important Supreme Court justices are, and I think that will shape the 2020 election cycle. Hey, we appreciate your analysis today. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks. Have a great day.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. If you're feeling run down and you don't have the energy that you used to, it's probably because you're not eating enough fruits and vegetables. Now more than ever, it's time to try Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in capsule form. The best defense against any virus is your own immune system. Balance of Nature is not like ordinary vitamins that are made with synthetics. It's just natural food in a vegetarian capsule with tens of thousands of vital nutrients from 100% whole food plants, fruits, and vegetables. A daily dose of Balance of Nature capsule has 10 servings of 31 different fruits and veggies. Strengthen your immune system today. Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off any new preferred order of fruits and veggies. Start your journey to a stronger immune system and overall better health today by calling 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. By going to balanceofnature.com and make sure to receive this special radio offer by using the discount code THEMISSION.
Have faith in your future. Know that you're destined for more than a paycheck. You were born to live your purpose. Join a community of believers seeking higher education at NIAC College. Apply or transfer to a degree in business, nursing, social work, ministry, music, and more. 95% of students receive financial aid. So apply now at NIAC.edu. NIAC College. Have faith in your future.
Marital problems? Pastor Chris DeSico, biblical counselor at Door of Hope Ministries, is deeply concerned with and committed to the covenant of marriage. He'll guide you as you draw closer to God, experiencing revival in your marriage in the privacy of your own home. Call now for a free consultation. Many couples heal, grow, and thrive by taking the first step. Call Pastor Chris today at 484-232-3309. Again, that's 484-232-3309. AM 570 and 102.3 FM, The Mission, WMCA. Listen online at WMCA.com, tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or radio.com.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Every week we promise you you're going to get a question answered by Mike Connors of Connors and Sullivan, the Tri-State's foremost authority on all things estate care and elder law. And Mike, this week's question comes from that famous person, Anonymous. The Anonymous says, my mother's will says she leaves everything in equal parts to me and my brother, but my brother murdered her. Does he still stand to inherit? Now, Mike, I'm guessing this normal application doesn't apply to a ton of people, but what's the actual legal answer here?
Well, we do see this come up every few years, probably about every 10 years. Technically, if you murder somebody, you cannot benefit from that murder and you cannot inherit. Now, the one thing that throws a kicker into it, if the, quote, murderer is acquitted, is not guilty by reason of insanity, they still may inherit.
So if they can convince the jury that they just were driven crazy and had to do it because they were crazy, then they're able to claim that inheritance still.
Yeah, and in our case, what may happen in our clients, it's possible that the, you know, let's say a husband has senile dementia and he does something that he's really not aware of what he's doing. And you know, and that's one thing people should be aware of. Sometimes when people suffer from Alzheimer's, their personalities change.
Right.
And even a frail person can do a lot of damage. If somebody's asleep or not looking for, you know, danger.
Yeah, not expecting it. Well, that has to be a very difficult thing to walk through. But, friends, I would think that if it applied to you, there would not be a better law firm to talk with about how to get the straight answer on it, as Mike Connors and company will give you. So call them today and have them evaluate your situation. 718-238-6500, 718-238-6500. And then don't forget, Mike answers a question every week here on Kevin McCullough Radio and answers a bunch more of them on his broadcast, Ask the Lawyer. That's Saturday mornings and Saturday evenings, Saturday mornings at 8, Saturday evenings at 6 on AM 570 The Mission and FM 102.3, and Sunday mornings starting at 11 on AM 970 The Answer. Mike Connors, thanks so much.
Thank you, Kevin.
Pastor Ray Hagestilianos, the host of WMCA's More Than Conquerors, airing daily at 2 p.m., has written a new, incredible book called Discouragement, Doubt, and Compromise, Overcoming the Challenges of Life. It will give you both godly and practical principles on how best to battle against the snares and schemes of the enemy. Pastor Ray wrote this book specifically to encourage, to help you recognize the danger signs, and to enable you to stand strong no matter how fierce the battle is. We live in troubling times, and now more than ever do we need encouragement and a reminder of God's promises. Discouragement, Doubt, and Compromise, Overcoming the Challenges of Life is an easy-to-read, how-to guide that teaches us never to give up, trust God, and to walk in victory with our Creator. Get yourself a copy of Pastor Ray's book at PastorRayNY.com. That's PastorRayNY.com. It will make clear the truth that God created you to succeed and live a prosperous, blessed life as more than a conqueror.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio. Breaking news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
They don't need that. The last thing you need is an up-armored Humvee coming into a neighborhood. It's like the military invading. They don't know anybody. They become the enemy. They're supposed to be protecting these people.
Okay, that's the guy that's asking for the vote as the former vice president of the previous administration, still widely recognized and respected in circles across the country. But you just heard the words come out of his mouth, that the police have become the enemy of the people and that their job is to protect the people. Well, I'm a wee bit confused on a few things, but one is how can you continue to have the respect of the people that you're trying to protect when they're retiring at a rate of 411% from this same time period 1 year ago? The last 6 weeks since the murder of George Floyd, and remember, right after that, everyone was unified. This was condemned unilaterally across the country, Republicans, Democrats, independents, people of faith, people of no faith. They all said, this is wrong. But since that time, this six-week season of lawlessness that has taken over our country, 600 murders, double-digit shootings and murders in the biggest cities every weekend since then, it has had a certain degree of anxiety in our country. And someone who's concerned about that is my next guest. He is the head of Alan Jackson Ministries, and he is the pastor at World Outreach Church, and he is heard, of course, here on AM 570, The Mission, and FM 102.3 in New York as part of his association with Salem Communications. Alan Jackson is his name, and we had a nice visit a couple of weeks ago, and he's returning to be with us all the way from downtown Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Alan, good to have you back, friend. I'm so curious.
Thank you, Kevin. It's good to be with you, and I appreciate your courage and willingness to speak the truth. It's refreshing.
Well, I'm just curious, when you hear someone with the kind of distinction that Joe Biden bears as the candidate for a major party asking for people's votes, and you hear him say that the police have become the enemy, and whether or not that's his opinion or not even, I mean, just the bare facts don't point that to be true, but to kind of have this feeling that that's just something that's just said now on a public venue, a press conference he held yesterday. As a pastor of a local church and as someone who's ministering to a diverse body of believers, what goes through your head when you hear that?
Well, I think it's disorienting just for the general public to hear people that we have been in places of leadership and influence saying things that are irrational, because that's an irrational statement. But I think it fits with this season. We've been walking through several weeks now where the information is inconsistent, whether it's, you know, healthcare information or now it's about expressions of authority around us. And I think the outcome is really an intentional attempt to disorient us all. And it's more important than ever that we be grounded in the Word of God and we have relationships with people whom we trust that will speak the truth into our lives so that we have some balance as we listen to these messages that are coming to us.
Well, I can't help but be reminded that the Bible says a great deal about lawlessness and a great deal about respect for one another. So in this season of discussion about racial tension and the abject kind of lawless anarchy that has gone hand in hand with it, what's your word of encouragement for us today?
Well, I think if we can recognize the underlying sources, it helps us. A good diagnosis makes a medical condition far less frightening.
Sure thing.
And if we can have an accurate diagnosis to what's happening to us, I don't think our real problem is a pandemic with a virus from China, nor do I really think it's widespread systemic racial hatred. I certainly think we have a problem with the virus, and I'm certain there are people that have racial hatred in their hearts. But I think beneath all of that, there is a spiritual attack that's been unleashed. When I saw those hundreds of people kneeling in different places around our nation, it was the first time I saw it with the same clarity. You know, the spirit of Antichrist's objective is to gain and garner the worship that was due the true Christ. And I saw all those people, and I thought, you know, the underlying force behind this whole thing is a spiritual struggle, which is intriguing to me because we need the church to be the church. The healthcare people won't fix this problem, nor the politicians, nor the economists. We need the church to be alive and vibrant. My concern is 90% of us that were worshiping in churches in January aren't worshiping together right now.
Yeah.
And we're a little comfortable with live streaming and watching church in our pajamas while we have our favorite cup of coffee. And we're going to have to re-engage with what it means to be the church and how we serve this culture and how we serve this community and not expect the politician to fix it or some other ideology to fix it.
Well, it's actually interesting that you brought that up, Alan, because I was speaking with one of our local shepherds this morning on by way of text, and a very small church, probably less than 300 families total that go to a couple of services that they hold, but it's in a rough neighborhood in a rough borough. And I said, "Brother, how can I pray for you?" And he said, "You know, we're seeing a mass exodus, not from the church, but by extension in the church, but from the culture at large. Crime is out of control, and people don't feel safe, and there is a real sense of anxiety." And he said, he just said something that was very stark. "I know dozens of pastors that are going through the same thing." And I thought, wow, if the enemy ever thought that there was an opportunity to get a foothold and to really kind of neutralize the church in a way, these last 17 weeks have been the perfect opportunity to do it. I'm excited to hear people say that their live streams have had farther reach than they've ever dreamed of having people in the seats in their auditoriums. But I'm also very excited to see churches getting ramped back up to be back together, because personally, Alan, that's what I've missed the most. Lifting my voice in worship is one of the things with hundreds of other believers around me. That's one of the things that I've genuinely missed. And I just wonder the spiritual calculus of what all of this is adding up to.
Yeah, I think it's an important question. And I don't think any of us have a precise answer right now. We're all trying to walk back into it. We've been having church outside for about 10 weeks now, three different times a week, so there was room for people to space and do it however they wanted. But what I discovered is, for all of us, it's taken more effort to regather the church than we thought.
Yeah.
17 weeks is a long time to develop a new habit, and we've developed some habits away from gathering together. So mobilizing God's people and saying, hey, there's a value in being together. They're not just a personal value. We have a function in the culture. The church being the church, standing together, speaking into the darkness, being a voice of affirmation for our police officers and the people in authority over us. I just think we took for granted the role we have stood in, and now that we've been displaced, we're going to have to find the courage and the determination to reconstitute. But I think we'll see it happen. I think God sent us home to pray, and I think he'll call us back to take a stand in a new way. I think we'll be bolder and stronger and more effective than we've ever been. We put up pools for baptism. We're doing baptisms every week. We're having people now come on a weekly basis, dozens of people saying we want to be baptized.
Well, that's fantastic.
So I pray we see that multiplied across our country.
Yeah. Well, Alan, it's always a real pleasure to hear your insights and to get your thoughts and your heart on what's going on. Thank you for fighting the good fight. Thank you for making your voice available to the New York area every week. We are so glad to have you with us as part of the lineup on AM 570 and FM 102.3. We just pray that God's blessing will continue to motivate, encourage, and inspire you to keep on going and keep encouraging as you can. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. We're praying for the city.
We need it. We need it, brother, big time. All right, Kevin McCullough, a big show still ahead. Stay with us.
At Fisher Investments, we do things differently, and other money managers don't understand why.
because our way works great for us.
But it may not work for your clients. That's why Fisher Investments is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor.
So, what do you provide? Cookie-cutter portfolios like the rest of us?
No cookie-cutter portfolios here. Fisher Investments tailors portfolios to meet each client's goals and needs.
But you do sell investments that earn you high commissions, right? And make commissions when you make trades for your clients?
No, Fisher Investments doesn't sell any commission investment products, and we never earn commissions on trades.
So what's in it for you?
Fisher Investments fees are structured so we do better when our clients do better. When it comes to helping clients achieve a comfortable retirement, we're clearly different. Visit FisherInvestments.com to find out why investors like you switch to us. Fisher Investments, clearly different money management.
Investments in securities involve the risk of loss.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. If you're looking to wow your corporate guests, clients, or employees after this whole pandemic is over, I have the answer for you. Plan an unforgettable event aboard the Atlantis. Fresh sea air, beautiful skyline views, a gourmet food and bar menu, first-class entertainment, immaculate facilities, and plenty of space. What's not to love? Your guests are sure to be impressed and comfortable aboard the Atlantis Mega Yacht. So go ahead and start planning your standout event today. Whether it's a corporate event, wedding, engagement party, retirement party, or anniversary celebration, impress your guests with a first-class experience aboard the Atlantis. Why wait? Call New York Cruises to schedule a private viewing of the Atlantis at 212-633-1231. Mention WMCA for 10% off your booking. This is a special free offer given the times. Consider booking now to save later. Call 212-633-1231. That's 212-633-1231 or visit newyorkcruises.com.
Now streaming on salemnow.com is the brand new film, Selfie Dad. Selfie Dad is a very funny yet powerful movie about a Christian dad in a midlife crisis who becomes an overnight social media phenomenon, only to turn away from God and his family. But when he's confronted with a newfound friendship and the life-changing truths of the Bible, he learns the only way to have true happiness.
Some of these things I just can't fix without some sort of direction. And I'm finding it right here in the Bible.
God can do incredible things.
Selfie Dad stars Christian comedians Michael Jr. and Shonda Pierce, as well as Grammy singer, YouTube star Jamie Grace, and War Room's Karen Abercrombie. It will inspire you to find the life-changing value of the Bible. Watch Selfie Dad at SalemNow.com and use promo code MOVIE to save 20%. That's SalemNow.com, promo code MOVIE.
Sabao Meat Products wants you to enjoy a sandwich with their finest Induveca ham, Campesino sharp cheddar, and queso heo cheese. The perfect combination of flavors between soft and creamy with a quality seal of Sabao Meat Products. More than half a century of tradition and quality, making the best Hispanic-styled salami such as Induveca, Campesino, the Don Filo line, Favolami, which is 100% turkey, and many more. That's why, if you don't see their logo from the start, don't put it in your shopping cart. Sabao Meat Products. Tradition of quality.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. I want to say once again thank you for your generosity as you helped us not rescue 92 slaves in the past month with Christian Solidarity International. No, you went above and beyond, liberating nearly 108 enslaved women who would not find their freedom any other way. Friends, if you didn't and still wanted to, the phone number is 888-342-1010. 888-342-1010. But on behalf of each of them, thank you. 888-342-1010.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio. Obliterating confusion, amplifying truth, and pursuing clarity. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. You know, we're trying to keep our eyes on all the moving top stories of the day. And in doing so, sometimes the big issues of the day get missed, and I hate that. And one of the things that I'm hearing increasingly about from not only my bride, but other moms that are in my listening audience, is that this whole going back to school thing is driving them nuts. Yesterday, of course, the mayor in New York City saying that it's going to be a blended program, which is going to be either some full days in the classroom and then some full days remote, or it's going to be morning remote, afternoon in class, wiping down everything in between, masks, no masks, how's it going to impact everything? And all of this when we continue to see data that says that children are really the least susceptible age group to the COVID-19 crisis altogether. Well, my next guest has taken this discussion one step further. She is the host of the 180 Cast. She is also a contributor at a senior contributor at The Federalist and the best-selling author of the book Clocking Out Early, The Ultimate Guide to Early Retirement. You can follow her on Twitter at Georgie Borman. But Georgie Borman of The Federalist, welcome back. It's good to have you with us. Your newest column says there's no good reason to mask toddlers. And I'm just curious, did any Karens come for you once that column was published?
Not yet. I mean, if they have, I haven't seen it, which is...
You're so far off the grid, they can't find you.
They cannot. No, they cannot find me. If they, even if they did, I just wouldn't care what they have to say. The level of paranoia and safetyism that we're seeing right now, especially with regard to masks, is just unlike anything I've ever seen. And it's completely unfounded, which is, you know, why we would call it paranoia.
Right.
The reason I wrote this article is because I recently traveled with my husband to Vegas. And so we went through SeaTac, we went through Oakland, and then we went through, of course, the Vegas airport. And in all three of them, I saw just dozens and dozens and dozens of just tiny toddlers, just barely 2 years old, some of them. They're all wearing these masks. And I thought, why? Because in Washington, it's just recommended for between the ages of 2 and 5, I think, to mask your toddlers, and then kids over 5 have to be masked. And then Nevada, it's like kids 10 and up have to be masked, but then they recommend it between 2 and 10. So it's like all of these parents are looking at these recommendations and being, oh my gosh, I have to put a mask on my toddler because the CDC recommends it and our state government recommends it. And so I should definitely mask my toddler. But they're not taking the time, I think, because of the panic that is driven by the media and the social shaming and the peer pressure from other parents. They're not actually taking the time to think and look at the evidence and be like, okay, is this a parenting battle that is worth fighting? Is there any evidence that putting a mask on my toddler is doing anybody any good?
So what does the evidence say, Georgie, in the time that we've got left here?
The evidence says that we've got months of evidence that says basically children almost never transmit COVID to adults. And adults, particularly older adults, are basically the only people that are very vulnerable to this disease. Other kids tend to get very mild cases, and they don't tend to transmit it very much either. So putting a mask on your toddler essentially does zero zip nada for anybody's safety. It's just another parenting battle that parents have to take on to try and get compliance out of their ornery 2- and 3-year-olds, and for nothing, for nothing.
Well, and what it's going to do is it's going to spill over.
New York.
Yeah.
Are right.
Well, it's going to
states like your state, New York, mandating over 2 years old.
And it's going to spill over now into the back-to-school scenario, which is already going to be beyond stressful for the average family. And you're right. These are battles that are just, I mean, you've got so much to worry about right now. Is this really one of the battles that we want to be fighting when the evidence doesn't seem to support it?
Absolutely. Don't fight battles that don't need to be fought. You've got enough on your plate, especially as a parent nowadays. The rules are changing, you know, every other day, and you're worried about whether your job's going to be there tomorrow, whether your kids are going to go back to school. This is not a parenting battle that you need to take on. And to all the parents out there who feel like they need to mask their toddlers because their other friend, you know, their mom friends or dad friends or whatever are doing it, don't feel like you need to just do what everybody else needs to do. You look at the evidence, you know what's best for your family and your child, and you make the decision that is best for you.
I like that. Georgie Borman, reader in The Federalist, the title of the article, There's No Good Reason to Mask Toddlers, and a follower on Twitter, at Georgie Borman, and also subscribe to her podcast, The 180 Cast. Georgie, always appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Kevin McCullough, a check of health and wellness with Dr. Douglas Howard. When we continue, stay here. Hi, Kevin McCullough. Now more than ever, it's time to try Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in capsule form. Balance of Nature is not like ordinary vitamins that are made with synthetics. It's just natural food in a vegetarian capsule with tens of thousands of vital nutrients from 100% whole food plants, fruits, and veggies. A daily dose of Balance of Nature capsules has 10 servings of 31 fruits and vegetables. Balance of Nature will give you access to your own health coach at no additional charge because they want you to live a healthy life. So call your personal health coach and discuss any questions and concerns you may have. This is a tremendous service from the Howard family to your family. Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off any new preferred order of fruits and veggies. Remember, the best defense against any virus is your own strong immune system. Start your journey to better health today by calling 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Or go to balanceofnature.com and use the discount code THEMISSION.
Are you scared of dental surgery? Unhappy with your smile? Tired of partial dentures? Then ZX27 glass abutment is for you. Only offered at M&M Dental in the heart of Brooklyn, it's a unique European non-surgical FDA-approved procedure giving patients back their confidence and smile. Here to explain is Dr. Seltzer.
Hi, thanks for having me here today.
Now tell us a little bit about the ZX27.
Sure. ZX27 is a revolutionary, non-surgical, FDA-approved procedure which gives patients a permanent smile without having to endure surgery and eliminates partial dentures.
Do you own the exclusive rights to this procedure?
Yes, we do, for the United States. This procedure has been done for over 30 years in 28 different countries worldwide.
What kind of feedback have you been receiving from your patients?
Patients are loving their new beautiful smiles while avoiding implant surgery and not having to wear partial dentures.
That's fantastic. Thanks, Dr. Seltzer. Call M&M Dental now at 718-853-5777. That's 718-853-5777.
Listen to The Mission WMCA anywhere you go with the AM570 The Mission mobile app. Download on Google Play, iTunes, or listen to TuneIn, iHeart, Alexa, or radio.com.
This is Hugh Hewitt for townhall.com. On Friday night last week, the president gave a stirring and patriotic 4th of July speech at Mount Rushmore. But the reaction from critics and today's elite media is more telling even than any criticism I could give of the left. From the Los Angeles Times, quote, "At Mount Rushmore, Trump uses 4th of July celebration to stoke a culture war." And from the New York Times, quote, "Trump uses Mount Rushmore speech to deliver divisive culture war message." And the Associated Press, quote, "Trump pushes racial division, flouts virus rules at Rushmore." I could go on and on. When you've got the left saying up is down and blue is red, then you've got obviously an inversion of truth and objectivity in the media. The need for alternative voices like mine and the alternative outlets like the one you're listening to right now has never been greater. Simply put, President Trump's speech was one of his best. I'm Hugh Hewitt.
Publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu.
As the will of the students goes, so goes the will of the nation. This is a central theme of the new movie, Return to the Hiding Place, the film about Corrie Ten Boom and her secret army of teenagers' heroic efforts to hide and save Jews from the Nazis during World War II. Corrie's story was made famous by her book and original movie produced by the Billy Graham Association. Now, 45 years later, comes Return to the Hiding Place, the untold behind-the-scenes true story of Corrie's secret army of student teenagers' efforts to rescue Jewish people. Told by Hans Poli, one of Corrie's teens in the resistance, Return to the Hiding Place is an action-packed film of the Dutch underground's true breathtaking rescue of an entire orphanage of Jewish children. Return to the Hiding Place, starring John Rhys-Davies. Watch this captivating movie tonight with your older children at salemnow.com and save 20% with the promo code MOVIE. Return to the Hiding Place at salemnow.com, promo code MOVIE. Due to historical content, might not be suitable for younger audiences.
When you need a lawyer you can trust, call the law offices of Dan Buttafuoco and Associates. Call 1-800-NOW-HURT. That's 1-800-NOW-HURT.
If it's happening in New York or across the globe, learn why it matters first on Kevin McCullough Radio.
It's a false narrative to take comfort in a lower rate of death. There's so many other things that are very dangerous and bad about this virus. Don't get yourself into false complacency.
That's Anthony Fauci, and I've really had enough of Dr. Fauci. I wish he would just kindly just step off the public stage. It's beyond annoying now. No, Dr. Fauci, we're not going to stop looking at mortality, because mortality is one of the rationales for why we should be doing certain things to help keep people safe. And, you know, just because it doesn't fit the narrative of having many, many more people test positive for the virus and the mortality rates going down, just because that's not convenient for the narrative that you've put forward or the CDC has put forward, that doesn't mean that we should ignore it. So don't tell me to ignore something that's as plain as the nose on my face. I'm sorry, I'm not that stupid. I'm not that smart, but I'm not that dumb. Anyway, welcome. It's the Thursday edition. We talk health and wellness in this segment. Dr. Douglas Howard rejoins us. He is the innovator of the fruits and veggies that power me, my body, my brain, this segment, this show. And I'm proud to say that he keeps me very, very well these days. I haven't had a sniffle in years, thanks to fruits and veggies. But Dr. Douglas Howard, welcome back. So there he is saying, don't look at the death rates. The death rates are going down, but you shouldn't be lulled into a false complacency because deaths are at record lows since the outbreak. Meanwhile, positive tests have gone through the roof. Doc, your response.
This is where I hate that science or empirical science becomes political science. They're just, anybody with any logic, please just look at this and go, they're just covering their butts now, and they're trying to cover their mighty dollar because certain people are highly invested into this immunization. If they can't keep people in the hysteria, who's going to want to take their multi-billion dollar immunization at the end of this? They've already said that. In fact, 2 weeks ago, they started saying, you know, we're only going to be able to get this maybe to 70% success. And if we can only get it to 70% success, we're also going to have a problem because now 30% of the people say they're unwilling to take the vaccine when we get it. And on top of that, you know, so then he's using that for the case of, so we're still going to have to quarantine everybody. This is just political science. Just stop it. Give us real numbers. What did they use for the mass hysteria in the first place? You're going to die.
And it was the death numbers. It was the daily death rates. Yeah.
And they were using everything. I can give you case after case of actual cases in hospitals that I know that people are being, that their death certificates are coming back. These are people and patients I know that their death certificates are coming back with coronavirus, and the family's going back and going, wait, my daughter's had these seizures her whole life and they've been severe, and we've always been told she wouldn't live to 18. She's 17 and she died of coronavirus. There was nothing to do with coronavirus.
Right.
And I can go on and on with these. Anyways, they used these numbers to build it up, to give us the fear, and now they don't have the numbers to steal from anymore. And so they're going, oh, don't let that worry you. It's not about death. It's just about these asymptomatic positive tests. And it's like, come on, we're not that stupid.
Well, let's talk about the mask debate, because I that's one of the hot subjects right now. In fact, there's even schools now trying to figure out if they're going to send kids back in the fall. Do you require the kids to wear masks? And I'm like, guys, what the data says is that the kids aren't all that vulnerable to it. But Doc, what do you say?
Well, there are two things. They're not that vulnerable. The amount of deaths in children is nothing. And so even with that, in going back to this, the vulnerability is low and the death rate is next to zero. There's more deaths from the flu in children than there is from COVID-19.
Yeah.
So as we go, I will agree with it. I'm true. It is true. We need herd immunity. But they stopped this through their political science. And so they stopped the herd immunity. They're showing that we're actually getting herd immunity. People have been, this has already been going on. And instead of trying to fight nature, instead of trying to fight science, let's go through the process now. You remember that we were going to flatten the curve? Well, I have to admit, we did flatten the curve. I don't know that it was necessary or not, but we did flatten the curve. The hospitals weren't full, like they said. We didn't have to have the hundreds of thousands of respirators they were talking about. Nobody turned into a zombie. All of this, I'm sorry I said that, but that's how they make people feel.
Right.
And so let's go back to this. We've never in the history of the world have we isolated, put in quarantine everybody, the well and the sick and everybody. It's always been you quarantine the sick, you quarantine the weak, and you let the rest of them go out and build this herd immunity that we all hear about without getting any major problems. And then we can overcome this. And even going back to school and with the children, this herd immunity is very important. And so if you have a child that is immunosuppressed in some way, then I would absolutely not send them back to school with a mask or without a mask.
Well, the truth is, Doc, if they're immunosuppressed, you may not have sent them to school if COVID-19 hadn't been here to begin with, because there are other agents out there that are just as deadly to the immunosuppressed as COVID-19.
Well, and you notice they're already prepping us. China's already put out that there's a new swine flu that's going to be out in January. Have you seen that?
It's right on schedule, huh? They're timing
it. They're already prepping us for it.
We're going to release it on January 7th.
Yeah. I mean, they're already talking the dates that it's going to be coming through. They've already identified it.
The truth is, friends, the best way you can get your kids ready for this fall is to make sure their immune systems are at peak operating conditions, which is why they should be on fruits and veggies just like you. And if you call today and talk to the health coaches at Balance of Nature, they're going to give you a special, there's special programs. If you're a pregnant mom and you want to get your kids started even while in utero, talk to them about it. There's all kinds of different ways to get your family on Balance of Nature. You just need to call and talk to them and get their immune systems going. Doc, final word.
Yes, I do want to clarify something. I understand that there can be serious problems with COVID-19. I am not denying that. What I am saying is, please, let's take this back to science, pull it out of the political science arena. It's probably almost impossible for us to get all real data, but I'm not saying that disease isn't real.
Yeah.
No, what I am saying is, please, let's get back to reality.
800-246-8751, 800-246-8751, and get started today. Doc Howard, thanks so much. Hi, Kevin McCullough. If you could save money on your mortgage payment and put more money into your pocket, wouldn't that make sense? Now is the perfect time to call my very good friends, Mike and Brian, at Fellowship Home Loans. Home values are up. The housing market is strong. Interest rates are low, and they're going to stay low. Talk to Mike and Brian about ways you could possibly eliminate PMI, private mortgage insurance, consolidate debt, take cash out for home improvements, and save on your taxes. As a direct lender, you deal directly with the decision makers who will save you the money and guide you every step of the way. And with outstanding customer service reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, you will be amazed by how well you are treated and how simple they make this very complicated process. Call Mike Rakeman and Brian Sheely at Fellowship Home Loans and lock in your low rate today. 800-804-SAVE. That's 800-804-SAVE. Intercontinental Capital Group, DBA, Fellowship Home Loans, Licensed Mortgage Banker, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 60134.
I'm speaking with Dan Buttafuoco of Buttafuoco & Associates. Business interruption claims are being denied.
It's impossible to get an insurance claim paid right now because of what's called the Pandemic Exclusion Clause. This is when a policy covers business interruption losses, except in the case of a pandemic. The good news is that there are lawsuits happening right now that will help struggling businesses be paid.
Can you help?
Buttafuoco & Associates has found a legal way around this pandemic exclusion clause to help business owners get paid. Claims are being handled through a mass litigation process, similar to a class action suit, where all cases are handled at once. This is the absolute best way to protect yourself right now because there is huge strength in numbers and there's no risk to you. Cases are taken on a contingent basis, so you don't pay unless you win.
What's the legal remedy?
Even if your claim is denied, don't give up. We've been winning the fight against insurers for over 35 years, and we're leading the charge in business interruption claims right now. I'll work with you personally to vet your case and prepare it for mass litigation.
Call Buttafuoco & Associates, 800-669-4878, 800-669-4878.
Meet Dr. Gil Lederman, New York's only Harvard-trained, triple-board-certified radiation oncologist, who brings you the latest cancer treatment news from world-renowned cancer experts delving into special cases. It's the Radio Surgery Show, Saturday night from 6 to 8 on AM 570, The Mission.
you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. Welcome back. Final few seconds with you today. I don't know if you saw the news article. It was in the New York Post early this morning. But there's a brand new report that's out that takes on this idea about how many patients the governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, took and placed directly in nursing homes that were COVID-19 positive. In fact, according to the tri-authored piece in the New York Post, the new accounting is a total of 6,300 COVID-19 positives were sent to New York nursing homes across the state. Now, I want you to consider this, these competing truths. Out of 330 million citizens of the United States, and of the millions of infections that have turned up positive, we are so far 0.04% of the population that has died of COVID-19 or died with COVID-19. Because they're counting, even if you died in a car accident but you were COVID positive, they're counting that as a COVID death. So 0.04% of 330 million, so far less than 1%. We have the lowest mortality rate of the known world, and we have more positives than anyone else in the known world. So 0.04% of the population died with COVID in their system. 42% of the deaths across America that were COVID positive came from nursing homes. And Governor Cuomo and Governor Murphy overwhelmingly sent the most number of COVID positive people to nursing homes of all the states combined. I just think it's important to point out those facts. Now, there's one other thing I want you to point out. The USS Comfort, which was the Navy hospital ship that was sent, and the Javits Center beds, those two facilities were both military staffed. That meant that if Cuomo had sent patients there instead of to nursing homes, which they had more than enough room for, that there would have been patient money that would not have come to the state of New York or to Cuomo. Those sites sat empty. He chose to send COVID-19 patients to the nursing homes and got the feds out so that more dollars could come back to New York. He chose money over lives. I'm Kevin McCullough.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language like French, Spanish, or Russian, but thought it would be too difficult and time-consuming? Then go to Babbel.com and try it for free. Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you will actually use. In 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel uses a modern conversation-based technique that makes language engaging, fun, and memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then, sentences gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. Babbel is created by language experts who use the spaced repetition method to help you learn quickly and remember what you learned. With Babbel, you can speak a new language. Babbel. Language for life. Now try Babbel for free. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com. BABBEL.com.
Sing your praise to the Lord. Come on, everybody, stand up and sing one more. Hallelujah, just to see.
AM 570 and 102.3 FM, The Mission. WMCA, New York City.
Win a copy of Once a Shooter, the story of T.J. Stevens, twice pardoned, once by God and later by the state. Also, get a prize pack from artist Colton Dixon by going to WMCA.com under VIP Club Click Contests. I'm Kevin McCullough. Here's Real Radio with Jack Hibbs on AM 570 and 102.3 FM. The Mission, WMCA.
Today on Real Radio.
A violation of separation of church and state. What is that? Where'd you get that from?
Well, I heard it somewhere. It's got to be somewhere.
Well, what law is that? You're not going to find it.